This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
Okay, you're listening to Hal and Melanie Young on Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
And we're talking with Dennis Gunderson, who is a veteran of the pulpit ministry, 27 years as a pastor in Oklahoma. And he is the author of a very thoughtful and a fairly short, but a very good book called Your Child's Profession of Faith. And we picked this up at a homeschool convention years ago. So it's been around for a few years, but the new edition is really slick. You've got added material in here. You've expanded it. You know, Dennis, one thing that really impressed me about this, that title seems to be very carefully chosen. You really make a distinction there between your child's profession of faith and the child's actual salvation. They're not the same thing, are they?
Right. That's a very important observation. When I speak of a child's profession of faith, I mean, at what point can the responsible adults around the child's life, his parents and his pastor, when can they recognize his stated commitment to Christ as actually informed, credible, responsible, and not just, say, as a reaction to some recent events, like maybe the profession of other kids at camp that he wants to join in on and you know, be part of that experience with others, or as something that's emotional? When is it actually recognizable that, okay, this child really understands what this commitment to Christ is all about? The thesis of the book is largely that even if your child has, in fact, embraced salvation in Christ, there need not be what I would call a rush to baptism in that case. Because probably one of the primary things parents need to understand is that once we have assured a child at a young age that he has come to faith in Christ, and he's had that public reassurance from his church for that public profession of faith, if that proves to have been spurious, and if that proves not to have been if that merely was an emotional experience, it's going to be very hard to undo that public assurance. And so I urge parents to take some time with this.
Okay. Now, well, let me you know, go right to the heart of the matter. You know, as a Christian parent, I really want to see my children saved. You know, I want them to be walking in the Lord. And, you know, when a child has come up to me and asked me to pray with them, or they said, I've been praying and I think God saved me, that's really exciting for a Christian parent. And let me ask you this, just foundational to what you're saying. Do you have an opinion, or better yet, is there any scriptural direction that tells us how early someone could actually be saved?
Yeah, you know, and on that point, tying that together with what you just said, I find that a parent's earnest desire for his children to know the Lord can at once be that parent's greatest strength in evangelizing their children, and can also be a fatal weakness at the same time, because sometimes that will make the parent zealous to be bringing the gospel to their child and praying for their child. It'll also sometimes make them extremely zealous to, if they don't watch it, to satisfy themselves, to give themselves that sense of peace that my child has come to the Lord, and eager to get that sense of peace behind them in history so they can move on, whether the child really has come to faith in Christ or not. But as for when, you know, at how early an age, I don't find what I would call any decisive scriptural guidelines as to how early someone can be saved, but I would certainly say there's no reason to believe that it can't be extremely young. I think I have met people who I believe were saved when they were 2 or 3 years old, who had a sufficient understanding of the gospel at that age, because I had no reason to question what I saw in their lives. I have you know, some of the folks who have known that I wrote your child's profession of faith have presumed that we would never, say myself and the other elders I've served with, that we would never baptize a very young child. But I've baptized several children, six and under, believing that they had decisively come to faith in Christ. But, you know, we did wait to see that there was some significant evidence, more than merely saying that, well, I believe in God or I believe in Jesus. We would ask them, well, what does that mean? How has that affected you?
I think there's one verse that gives us some indication how early someone might be saved.
What's that?
When John the Baptist leaped within his mother's womb when he recognized his Savior.
Well, I mean, that's...
No, that's unusual.
That's quite... Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
yeah. That's the extreme, and that's unusual, but it does tell us that, you know, that to put an artificial age on it and say you have to be an adult to come to Christ, probably that's just not true.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, something dramatic happened there that was recorded, you know, for our sakes to understand, and we don't know exactly what that was. You know, obviously it wasn't what you would call an intelligent response to the gospel, not being able to audibly understand and hear it. But there was a reaction that's recorded in Scripture for us that tells us something.
Well, I was really impressed, Dennis, that toward the end of your book, you have a few pages titled Helpful Suggested Questions for Pastoral Interviews with Children About Baptism.
Yes.
And you specifically say in here that you say keep in mind that these questions are mostly worded with the aim of relating well to and speaking with a child under 10 years of age, perhaps even as young as 6 or 7. You know, I was impressed by that because, you know, we've been in churches that took that position of, well, we are not going to baptize anybody who's under 18. And you lay that groundwork here to say that there are certain things that you can elicit, that you can get a reasonable, credible profession from a very young believer.
You can, yes. I recall a particular interview with one six-year-old boy who very recently, I had not seen or heard from him in many years. He's almost 30 now.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually reconnected with this young man named Micah through Facebook. And I was so encouraged to hear that he's still walking with the Lord. And after all these years of not having contact with him, and I interviewed him when he was 6 years old, and I specifically remember him telling me during that interview, you know, Micah, how has coming to know Christ changed things for you? And he said, well, he said, my parents say that I treat my sisters a lot better, you know, and that I'm just, my behavior towards them isn't as mean, that I am looking for ways to serve them. And so I asked him, I said, Micah, I said, do you believe that Jesus has saved you because you've become a good boy? And he paused, and it was only you could feel the gears turning in his head. You can nearly hear them. Mm-hmm. He was embracing that question, has Jesus saved me because I've become a good boy? And he pondered that for about 15 seconds, and he said, well, not exactly. He said, I think I'm becoming a better boy because Jesus saved me. And I said, wow, you got it.
Amen.
<You know? laughs> He understood something that a lot of adults who have been in church for much of their life haven't caught on to. So.
Well, you know, and that's, I think that's probably a good point to bring out, isn't it? That you're talking about a person being saved for eternity, and some of the baseline things that you would look for in a 25 or 30-year-old adult that came to you and requested to be baptized, you would expect to see the same things from a 5 to 10-year-old who wanted to be baptized because they're both believers, right?
Exactly. You know, and that is a very important distinction to make, that sometimes families that have wondered why I was being cautious with their child and saying, well, let's not baptize just yet, it was merely because we weren't seeing any evidence or any ability to vocalize the very same things that we would look for if we were witnessing to, say, a gentleman at the workplace. And, you know, if that gentleman would listen to what we had to say about the Lord, but did not show any delight in the Lord, did not show any love for the Word of God, didn't show any real evident love for the person of Christ, wasn't in the habit of what you'd call habitual repentance from sin, didn't show any desire to witness of the Lord and speak to about him to others. Well, if you knew a guy at work that had those manifestations of character, you would very typically say, I don't think he knows the Lord. Well, if a child says, you know, I think I believe in God, but you don't see any of those evidences as well, some of that might just be due to immaturity of age, but it's at least a good time to withhold judgment and say, well, until we start seeing some of those things in their most rudimentary form, why don't we wait?
Well, I think that's good. You know, when that was something I took away from the book, was kind of to realize just what we've been talking about, that when a parent has a child who's professed faith and they come to the pastor, the parent's got the advantage of seeing that child day after day. You know, they saw that child in the weeks leading up to the profession. They've seen changes in that child in their daily life in the weeks after. But the pastor, you know, doesn't quite have that same amount of contact. And it, you know, we need to kind of be patient with our leaders in the church, perhaps, to say, you haven't had a chance to see the changes in this child that I have.
You know, and we need to strive to be objective ourselves. I think about one of our children who at age 5 and 6 had just a remarkable knowledge of the Word of God and interest in the Word of God and spiritual things and talked about it all the time. And I think it was about that time we first read your book, Dennis. And, you know, it made us kind of step back a little bit and say, let's just wait and watch a little while. He's still very young. Mm-hmm. When he was about 8, he went through a time that about tore me out of my frame. He became an 8-year-old atheist. And you know, he would say, how do I even know there's a God? And he was kind of angry about it and got involved in the sins that a child that age does. And, you know, it was shortly after that, I think he was 9.
Yes.
And I think Hal might have been working out of town or something.
I was working late because I remembered that evening.
Yeah. And, you know, all of a sudden, the child was just sitting in the room with me he said, you know, how can I know I'm really saved? I just opened the Word of God to him, spoke to him, and I said, wait, I hear somebody crying upstairs. Let me go deal with it. Mm-hmm. I ran upstairs, dealt with it. When I came back down, I looked at him, and he was a different boy. Mm. You know, you could see Christ in his eyes. And, you know, he's an adult now and still serving the Lord. And, you know, it was interesting to me because it would have been very tempting to jump on that when he was 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, I was thankful that your book made us, you know, wait and watch a little bit longer because, you know, when he was baptized, there was no doubt on this planet that he knew the Lord and that he was making a public commitment to serve him for his entire life.
Well, that's a delightful story. That's tremendous to hear.
Well, I tell you, we're running a little short on time this segment. I'd like to come back and wrap a few things up because there's some important question that flows from that. So if we can go ahead and take a break here, Dennis, I'd like to come back and ask you that question. What if you've had a profession in your household and you have reason to doubt it? What do you do? Can we deal with that in a minute?
Sure thing.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back with Dennis Gunderson, the author of Your Child's Profession of Faith, and answering questions that worry us as parents.
We want to tell you about our sponsor, SchoolhouseTeachers.com. We talk about them. There's so many things available out there for you to adopt into your homeschooling. One of the things which I think is really neat about it is they have some really well-recognized teachers as part of this whole thing. Like, for example,
Patrick Nury of Northwest Treasures, friend of ours, is teaching about geology.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Johnson, her Knowledge Quest maps are amazing. Her products are amazing. She's teaching about geography.
You know, there's also, they have some modules by Diane Waring talking about relational homeschooling. We can all use that.
Oh, and Amy Potts is teaching about history. I mean, these are really great people. I saw George Escobar, who's a really well-known filmmaker, is teaching about filmmaking.
Awesome.
There are so many things out here, and it's all included. And it's not like you have to pay separately for each class like most things. It's all included.
And you know, that's pretty neat, because how often would you get an opportunity to go to somebody who is a published author, who's a recognized teacher in a subject, and sit there and study in your homeschooling environment? You know, that's
Seriously.
The kind of thing you go off to a university to do. But here's
right.
this is a way that you can hear it straight from these authors and these teachers. And you know, what a great opportunity. And you know what? Nice thing about schoolhouseteachers.com is for the same low price, you can like put all of your students into it.
Right.
There's no extra charge if you have additional students in your family. It's just one low family charge. And so we really want to encourage you, come out and check out schoolhouseteachers.com. All right, we've been talking with Dennis Gunderson. He is the author of Your Child's Profession of Faith, and we've been talking with him about a lot of those questions that Christian parents have. You know, how soon could we hope to see some salvation in our children, to see some kind of evidence of God's grace? But, you know, one thing that we have to deal with, sometimes we have a child that comes to us and says, Mama, Daddy, I think I've been saved. And we look at that child and we don't see a change in their life. We don't see a change in their...
We might not even be sure what to look for. Dennis, what do we look for when a child says something like that?
You know, the things that I primarily look for are just an evident delight in the Lord and any kind of manifestations of evident love for the Lord, that particularly as connected to his word and his people. His glory is going to be manifested in his people, in the flock, and you'll find that a child that really has come to the Lord will, you know, 1 John says one of the signs of that will be that you love those that are born of God like yourself, and a delight in the Lord himself and his word. So, but you know, when you, getting to that question, as for, say, a child that makes a profession, we always have to keep in mind that in a child who's being raised in a Christian home, it's going to be normal for them to have some desire to imitate their parents, to a desire to please their parents, to be like them. And so following from that, there would be an inclination in their hearts at some point to say, yeah, I believe what you believe. I want to be like you. And yet there's an inability to see the ramifications of the choices that go with conversion in proportion. A child's understanding of things is immature and is not going to be able to grasp some of these things to the depth that they should. And so I would say the first thing I tell parents, to maybe to their surprise, if you've got a child who professes to have come to Christ and you've got some reasons to doubt that, before you share the negatives with them, I'd say encourage them with the positives you see. Say, you know, I am thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. Anything you can see that is on the pro side of that, encourage it, because you want them to know that you're pleased at those fruits that you do see. And that will give you a context then in which to honestly say, you know, but here's what concerns me. You know, I don't see this evidence of faith in Christ in you, some particular thing that's missing. And you've got to be forthright with them. You've got to open up and share it with them and make sure they're aware that you've got a doubt. And then I would be prayerful with them about those very areas and say, I will pray with you about these things until we see the Lord work to a greater depth in your life.
And maybe not when they come to share it with you. You know, I know the tack that I've taken is when a child says something like that to me, Mama, I think the Lord has saved me, I say, that's wonderful. I'm glad to
Amen.
Hear that.
We should rejoice initially, for sure.
Right. And
say such a thing. Yeah.
Right. You know, and show them that I'm glad and say, you know, I really hope that's so, that he saved you, sweetheart, and Mama's going to be praying for you.
Yes.
And, you know, because I don't want to discourage that. For one thing, I don't know what's going on in their heart. God might have saved that four-year-old.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you do want to say all the encouraging things that you honestly can at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it continues, you're right, you know, begin to direct them, you know, you're professing that you know the Lord, and yet I'm seeing these things in your life, sweetheart.
Well, that's, you know, in your book, Dennis, you say you suggest to parents that they should encourage their children, just as you said, and then challenge them, you know, to say, I'm not seeing a consistent walk. You know, if you're a believer, I expect there's some things that would show up in your life. But I like this third point. You said to fix your child's eyes on Christ and not on his own profession. Do you want to elaborate on that a bit?
Yes. Make sure that they don't get obsessed with, you know, absorbed with trying to prove the point. It can turn into a gulf between parent and child if they get fixated on, I've got this profession thing that I've got to prove. They say they see some evidences, but they've got some areas of doubt. Well, therefore, it becomes a hill to climb to them, and it becomes a battle with you to accomplish this and to make sure they can persuade you, you know, that they have been converted. Well, you've got to divert that then and say, look, we've got to get you off this thing of thinking about profession so much and focus your attention on Christ. I would, during those times, I would make sure that you're going through one of the Gospels in your family worship time and bring them face-to-face with the claims of Christ on his people's lives. Go through an epistle like Romans or Galatians and be explaining some of those truths to your child so that he's hearing the emphasis on justification by faith and not by the works of the law, and making sure he's understanding that, you know, this isn't about you proving with some certain behaviors that you've come to faith in Christ.
Exactly.
What we want to see is not you proving something, but rather just a delight and a love and a faith in him that makes it evident that you'd rather glorify him whether, you know, anybody recognizes that you do that or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I guess maybe to sort of wrap up what we've been talking about, I think you could probably encapsulate it to say that, you know, children can be saved. I mean, you know, you've seen it, you've been convinced of it as a pastor, and I know we've seen it in our own family. I think that the scripture would indicate that young people can believe, even, you know, maybe down into single digits of years. But the difficulty we have is that we as parents and you as a pastor, we can't see their hearts. And so,
absolutely. Children can come to faith in Christ, but it's at points it's very difficult for us to discern whether they have or not. Mm-hmm.
So we need to keep sharing the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. We need to keep pointing them to Jesus Christ, and, you know, and wait and watch and see for fruit of that profession.
And keep viewing them as, you know, ground to be tilled and seeded, as to keep that principle in mind that the child rearing years are clearly not a time of conclusion. We're going to find out what someone really believes when they reach that age, whatever that age is for that child, where they can start making independent choices of their own about their future. Then you're going to learn a lot about what that person believes, and that's when you're no longer just in a time of cultivation, but now you're starting to see some conclusions.
Well, Dennis, I really appreciate your insights on this. It's a really good book. It's called Your Child's Profession of Faith, and it's available through Grace and Truth Books.
Give us your website, Dennis.
Yes, our website is exactly that name, graceandtruthbooks.com, all spelled out, including the and.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say this. Dennis carries not just his own books, but a wonderful selection of books. And one thing I like about it is you're very careful in choosing them, Dennis. That I know if I buy something at your store, it's going to be solid theologically. It's going to be helpful to our family.
Yeah, my wife and I have made a very concerted effort to make sure that's the case. And, you know, I can't say that we read everything that we carry. That would be way too much for us to do. But there certainly have been certain publishers and authors that we've come to have a high regard for, and we know what to expect from those publishers, those authors, and when we peruse one of their books, we still do it carefully, but we know what sources to look to for sound theology.
Well, Dennis, I know you have some other titles that we were talking about. I'd like to maybe get us a date in the future. We can talk about some other issues, like dating and courtship is one thing that's always a matter of much interest. Dennis, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, and we do appreciate your work for the kingdom of God.
Sure do, Dennis. Thanks for coming.
Yes, delighted to have been here. Thank you.
And with that, we finish up our interview with Dennis Gunderson, the author of Your Child's Profession of Faith. What a great interview that was, and a lot of insight there. What a great book, too. You know, if you want to read that book for yourself, and honestly, if you're a parent, you probably do, you can find that at the publisher's website. Just go to graceandtruthbooks.com, just like he said, and search by the title, and you'll find a lot of great resources there besides Your Child's Profession of Faith. We really highly recommend it.
If you like this kind of content, you know, it's out here free. We're here to minister to people's needs, to answer questions, to encourage folks to live more biblically and more intentionally and with more grace in their lives. You know, there's one way that this is supported, and that is through the use of Patreon.com. Patreon.com is a way that you can become a patron, you can become a sponsor, an ongoing supporter of this broadcast and our blog and so many other ways that we reach out. So we want to encourage you, please come on out to Patreon.com, patreon.com/Hal and Melanie. Okay, well, it looks like we're about out of time, so we want to just encourage you, come back and join us every Monday night. Go dig through the archives. We've got all kinds of topics out here. And if you've got anything you'd like us to talk about, you can contact us through our website, raisingrealmen.com. Let us know what your ideas are.
See you then.
All right. Thanks. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.